The hatted kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot.
I came to
the hatted kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot in public, if you will.
I came to pay the play, there's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. You say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back, watch if you
pray. I came to
play, get my due pay. I guess you had a dream, but it can't be saved.
I came to play.
What's going on, 2016? I'm going to tell you what's going on. What's going on is that we're starting this year off right with a bunch of technical difficulties again. Actually, I guess it wasn't that bad, but we got started. You're trying to hit the drop so we can hear things play, and nothing's happening. So you're like, okay, I guess I should wait and see if it could. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't happen. Thinking maybe I should just turn the mic on and just start talking. But I really, really like to have intro music. All right, now that I'm done with that rant, Happy New Year, everybody. What's going on? Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, right here on Blog Talk, Stitcher, any place you can find a podcast, any place you can find any audio. I guess it's podcasted after the fact. I got to get this right. Audio streaming. It is 2016. This is Season 3, Episode 8. I apologize for no show last week. I was sick as balls, which is how I spent my Christmas Day, which is just awesome. It went from working my ass off at private parties to being sick as balls on a nonstop basis. And currently, my voice is garbage right now because I'm still recovering from being said sickness. It's like the sickness that won't go away. I get sick like once a year, twice every 5 years or some shit, and it just so happens to be right now. That's okay, because 2016, it's a brand new, it's a fresh start. That's what I think about the new year. It's like a fresh start. You can set these goals and you can go and get them. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. But before we do so, please allow me to introduce myself. My name is Chef Plum, a.k.a. your culinary Jedi, a.k.a. Trash Talker Skywalker. And I'm sitting here at the bar in my basement, of course, because that's what I do. It's not my mom's basement, at least. It'd be funny if I was 37-year-old sitting in my mom's basement. That'd be fucking badass. That's not what I'm doing. I'm sitting down here in my bar, at my bar, in my basement. My bar is awesome. I'm very proud of it. But this year, I tell you what, let's go back really quick in 1 second to 2015. 2015, it was a great year. It was a year of new projects. It was a year of learning who I am. It was the year of just a lot of great things happened in 2015. I'm very happy with 2015. If I could do it again, I would do it all the same, I think. I think so. Cause I think that's how you get to where you are now, by doing things. You know, we're a product of where we've come from. And to me, everything I've done has led me up to this point, and I'm very happy right now. So I don't think I change a thing. So I don't look at it as, you know, trying to do something different or whatever. It's more about learning from the past year and taking this next year to a whole other level, and that's my plan, which is great, because I look at this silly, very program we're listening to right now, and the fact that we're still doing it, Season 3, Episode 8, which is like total Episode 64, so I don't know. It's a lot, dude, but it's cool because we're still sitting here doing it, and we're getting great guests on, like tonight, Brad Garun from Burger Weekly. What a great dude, man. I was on their show with him and this gentleman named Rev Ciancio, which we all know from Schweid & Sons. A great burgers, by the way. Had me on their show. Brad's a great guy. Somehow he manages to get a word in edgewise with Rev, which I know is quite challenging, and we're going to bring it up to him. But he's a great guy. But more importantly, he has taken eating burgers to another level, especially for social media. This dude, just I mean, on Instagram alone, it's like 40,000 followers, another 30 on Twitter. It's ridiculous. And all he does is eat burgers, talk about burgers, and put pictures of burgers up. He actually scolded me for not having enough pictures of burgers on my Instagram. And I said, well, listen, my mediocre Instagram following has not doesn't really compare to yours. So maybe that's the key. So Brad's going to be on, and we're supposed to have Chef Renato on from Basso Cafe. He's going through some tough times right now, and I thought it'd be a great opportunity to talk to him and hear what's going on there. But we're not completely sure he's going to call in because it's that tough of a times right now. But his PR person and friend of the show and my close personal friend, Rachel Lampin, will be calling in just to talk for a few minutes about what's going on. And what I think that we'll switch it to bad PR moves for the restaurant business. We'll talk about that with Rach. She's great. She has a cold, too, and so she's very embarrassed to talk on the phone. And I said, don't worry. You're British. No one can understand you anyway. Insert laughter here because that was a funny joke. Anyway, but yeah, so 2016 coming up, you know, everyone sets their New Year's resolutions, and you know, I have my own, but I don't like to think of it as New Year's resolutions. I think of them more as, plans to dominate. Because listen, if you don't believe in yourself, how can you expect other people to believe in you? You know, I think there's a fine line between cocky and confident. And if you listen to the last episode we did with Beth Schiff, the head casting person for Chopped, you know, we talked about that a little bit, and I think that's a really key thing to remember. There is a very fine line between cocky and confident. And, you know, sometimes I try really hard to walk that line. I don't always succeed. Sometimes I come across as very cocky. But, listen, I have a lot of confidence in what I can do and a confidence in my skills. And I think as a chef, you have to have that. You have to have that confidence. Because if you don't, you're not going to make it, man. The business is going to eat you alive and spit you out. And like, and it won't even think twice about you tomorrow. So you have to have that confidence. Trust me, 20 years doing this stuff, cooking food professionally for a living, to pay my bills, to get the lights kept on, to keep the heat on, to put food on my table, has been done by cooking food for the past 20 years. And if you don't have confidence with it, it will destroy you. And I think that's what we've seen happen, or starting to see happen, with some people that we know. And I hope that in 2016, that can change and that won't happen to them. Because I think there's a lot of talented guys out there, a lot of talented cooks, a lot of talented chefs who are trying their hand in the business, or maybe they haven't been in it as long, but you know, they're still out there slaving away. And maybe it's not going the best it can for them. You know, maybe it's not going the way they want it to. But you just got to keep doing it. You got to keep doing it. You can't let it eat you up and spit you out. I think one of the key things to also remember in this business is it's a team business. It's a team game. No matter how much you want it to be a one-man show, if it's a one-man show, it's not going to succeed. It's a team game, and you have to have a team around you. You cannot do it all by yourself. Now, a great chef is a great leader, and having a great leader is different than being a dictator. You know, having people to believe in you, having people who you can form a connection with, form a bond with. You know, I think there's a lot of great chefs in this world that do that now. I think Chris Santos does that from Stanton Social. He, you know, our good friend Derek Prince, he does that. You know, there's a lot of great chefs out there who do that. But there's also some who try to dictator shit, and it doesn't work, man. It's not 1977 anymore. I mean, I understand tough love, and sometimes it's necessary. But I firmly believe you're going to catch more flies with honey than you do vinegar. It's worth taking the time to be nice about it. It's worth taking the time to listen to what people have to say. Because, listen, in this business, whether you're a cook, whether you're a chef, whether you are a front-of-the-house person, a restaurant manager, it really does. It really, truly does make a bit of a difference to what's happening. So I think it's important to make that happen. So anyway, that's what I think. And that's my soliloquy to start the day off, to start the show off. I'm going to play a quick break really quick. And then we'll be right back, guys. Stay right there. You're listening. Check it out. Plum Love Foods Live right here on Blog Talk Radio. Hang tight. Oh, that's right, guys. My knife is smarter than yours. That's right. Smarter. I'm talking Ergo Chef Knives. The unique patented shape makes it more of an extension of your hand. The curved handle of an Ergo Chef knives allows for a smoother cutting and less fatigue in your hand. Listen, I use these knives every day, and they are fantastic. They're my go-to knives. If I use a normal knife, like a regular chef knife anymore, my hands start to hurt and feel achy. Trust me, guys, I'm not making this up. These knives are the jam. Check them out at ErgoChef.com. That's ErgoChef.com. And tell them Chef Plum sent you by using the promo code PLUM15OFF and get 15% off your purchase. Mike and Scott are great dudes over there, so check them out at ErgoChef.com. And you
dedicated to all the pretty girls, all the pretty girls in the world, and the ugly girls too. But to me, you're pretty anyway, baby. You give me your number, I'll call you.
Yeah, that's right. Coming back live right now to Plum Love Food Live right here on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, Carrier Pigeons, Smoke Signals. You know, and I can't think of a better song to bring in. She's going to have no idea who that is, but a song to bring in my guest right now this time. The incredibly smart, the incredibly talented, the beautiful Rachel Lampen. What's up, hon? How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm bringing you in with a horrendous song, but it's pretty funny. You'll get a kick out of it.
I don't know it. You're right. It's not 80s. I don't know it.
No, it's by Old Dirty Bastard. It's pretty close to being 80s.
It sounds very modern.
It's called Got Your Money. It's all right.
You sound coldy like me. What's going on?
I have the voice of a beautiful song sparrow and a blackbird who is singing in the wind in the spring. I don't know what you're talking about.
We need to rock-y-okey.
I'm currently pouring beer down my throat so I can maintain my voice.
Oh, I can't even do that. I can't even have a hot toddy because I'm trying to have a few days off. It's been, a big heavy session. Anyhow.
So I was talking a little bit in the open just about this business and how, you know, confidence is key and how there's a very fine line between confidence and cockiness. And I think that, unfortunately, I'm completely victim of it where I fall more on the cocky side sometimes. But I think it's important to have that. I think if you don't have that confidence, though, this business, and you're very well, you are very entrenched in it from a different angle, but this business will chew you up and spit you out. Do you think I'm wrong?
No, I totally think you're right. And my son's motto at school, I'll never forget, is work hard and be kind. And I totally stick with that because people don't forget. And even if they didn't appreciate it at the time, even if you were nice or you were nasty, it'll come back and bite you. So just be nice. Just be nice where you can and help people out.
Yeah, I think that's the age that we're in now, and I think that the time of the chef who screams and yells and throws things, I think it's done. I think that time is over. I think it's more about now building a team. You have to have a team. No matter, this is not a business you can do by yourself. You have to have a team, and you know that. And you've worked in your business. Just a quick, you've done PR for working with Amex and doing a lot of cool things with chefs like Gordon Ramsay, chefs like Jamie Oliver. Like, you've seen that
Marco
side of
Pierre
it.
White.
Oh my God! Yeah. I know we haven't talked about that enough yet, but yeah, I mean, but you've seen it, and these people, while they could come across as very harsh, have a fantastic team around them.
Yeah, no, they do. You need a really strong team, and it's good communication as well, always.
I think so, and it's just a shame that you see so many people now who are so hung up on doing it their way, hung up on not wanting to. Or thinking they don't have the time to teach or to show somebody else that it definitely affects them in a negative manner.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm talking, I'm cryptically talking. How about that?
You are.
So listen, so what's going on with you? Now, we had a great episode on our show a few months back with you, and we laughed our asses off.
Many months.
Yes, a long time ago. And it's no secret you and I do some work together now. And we have a lot of cool projects. But what else is going on with you? You've got a lot of people you work with. So what's happened?
I've got a few people I'm working with. I'm being kept very busy.
Who's your favorite person?
I can't possibly have a favorite, Chef Plum. You so want me to say you, don't you?
I mean, let's say that there's an airplane, and it's going down, and there's two parachutes. All your clients are in there. Who's going to jump out of the plane with you?
My dog.
Okay, you would obviously, it's like picking your favorite kid. All right, finish your story, sorry.
Yeah, my furry boy. Right, okay, no. Client-wise, I'm busy, I'm planning. It's planning time now, so it's crazy. So I'm already looking at May and June. I'm working with Basso Cafe there in between New Canaan and Norwalk. And things are crazy busy for them because they've got a bar, they've got a wine cellar, so they're really busy with their happy hour food and drink, which is Tuesday to Friday.
We were going to talk to Renato tonight about some stuff, but I guess he's just getting crushed too hard and can't, you know, doesn't have the time to do it right now. That's why we're talking to you.
Yeah, he's so slammed at the moment. He really needs staff. So he's just running around trying to do everything. He needs a line cook, he needs a sous chef, and he needs a server. So
is he the kind of chef who's going to yell and scream, or is he a teaching kind of chef?
No, he's very calm. No, it's Mediterranean fusion food. He's very calm. He's been there 8 years, and his staff, you know, are there a long time. They're very loyal. It's just all happened at once, and he's busy, you know, where most restaurants in January, they have a lull. He's busy, so it's not the problem for getting the customers in. It's the staff at the moment. So, yeah, that's why I'm afraid you've got me.
No, it's okay. I mean, you're much better to talk to anyway.
Oh,
although I'm not sure more understanding, you or him. That was a terrible joke. I'm sorry.
I can't comment.
So who else are you working with?
Baldanza in New Canaan, the organic cafe. So we've got great things happening with them, actually. So they've got a little tiny market in New Canaan, and they're just about to launch their soups big time at the moment. They're taken, you know, you can get their soups at Walter Stewart's Market and also in the cafe. But I'm going to be meeting the Connecticut Food Bank, and we're going to be launching Baldanza Soup Kitchen imminently, and it's going to be fabulous because the Connecticut Food Bank's just an incredible organization.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
Big things, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happening, huh?
Well, Jamie Oliver Food Revolution, put it in your diary, Saturday, May the 14th. I've already secured the pop-up park in New Canaan, so that's the other one.
Well, this is news to me. We should talk about that.
Well, MC...
Okay, I'm in. anything
you in.
To work with that? Yeah, I was on Foodie Chats earlier tonight, getting ready for the show. And Foodie Chats is one of the big things on Twitter where they talk about food. And I said that one of my goals in 2016 was to finish reading all the Jamie Oliver books I haven't finished reading yet.
Ah, I've got a few as well. I've got a fair few too. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I have a man crush, but that's okay.
I think you do. That's okay. It's fine.
No, well, you're too good. You understood. Now, as I say, I might fancy him a little.
You fancy him. I fancy Nigella a little bit.
Yeah, Nigella's something else, I tell you what. And they are as big in person. Let me just say that.
Well, you know.
I do know. So what do you think is the big thing? What do you think is the most exciting thing that you've got going on for 2016? Like, what are some of the giant, like, holy shit moments that have already happened? Because it's already, I mean, we're what? What's today? Today's January 4th. And I know how you work, and you've been planning so many things already. So what's kind of on the table that looks amazing as it is?
Well, there's a little food and wine pairing that's going on with a big chef.
Oh.
Who's doing that?
I wasn't trying to put myself over. I was just asking.
No. Well, that's kind of one of the biggest things that happened at the end of last year. So that was really exciting with you, with Turner Classic Movies Wine Club. It's only launched in October, and you know, I was asked to look at their offering on the website, and it was great, but they needed video to bring it alive, and so, you know, we got shooting and, you know, managed to film 5 segments. Really good, really fantastic, very social. So yeah, I probably am most pleased with that at the moment, and excited, and just looking forward to festivals as well. You know, the Greenwich Wine and Food Festival was a really great event last year.
Good. Well, it's exciting. I can't wait for 2016.
I know.
You're definitely a blast to work with. And I'll tell you what, if anybody's looking for some PR help out there, you got to look up Rachel. She is a fucking machine. I feel like she will nonstop bust her ass for you and do what it takes. And just for God forbid, don't ever tell her no, because she'll eat you alive if you do that.
Well, just tell me what you're looking for, and I'll go get it. That's what I do.
That's true. You absolutely do that. That is completely true. Well, listen, and don't forget, you guys, if you're looking for a gig and you're in the Fayetteville County area, Basso Cafe, Renato needs help desperately. Definitely look Rachel up. She can help you out with that. Find her on
Instagram and
Twitter. Only one rah-rah.
That's me.
We got into that on our episode, but you can find her there, or also, I'm sure Basso Cafe has a website, right?
It does. Basso_Cafe. They're on there.
That's
BASSO, yeah.
Easy to find. Well, Rach, I appreciate a few minutes with you tonight. I always enjoy talking to you. And I look forward to our two-hour drive Wednesday.
No, I'm gonna listen now to you and Brad. I'm very interested to hear more about what he has to say. So
yeah, he's off.
And, I'll see you Wednesday for the big drive.
I will see you then. I'm going to play a song really quick while I crack a beer, because I'm not going to play any more commercials. So I'm going to play the song I sent you the other night. That was I had a few cocktails, but that song is awesome. Do you know where it came from, by the way?
No.
That song came from, what is this fucking show called? House of Cards.
Oh, I should have known that.
Yeah, it's like the last episode. That song played such a good song. Yeah.
Okay, we'll listen on Wednesday.
Yes. Well, there you have it. Well, check it out. That's my friend Rachel. She's looking for some help for her friend over at Basso Cafe Renato. Give her a shout if you can find it. And Rachel, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening. Bye.
See you,
bye.
There you have it, guys. So we're hanging tight right now. That was Rachel. She's talking about Basso Cafe and what they need and what's going on with her. And I tell you what, she is a hard, hard working person, no doubt. We're going to drop a quick song while we wait for my friend Brad to get on the horn here with us. And we'll be right back, guys. So here, check out. This is the song I was talking about. Check it out. It's J.J. Gray and the Mofro. The song is called The Sun is Shining Down. It's a beautiful song. Give it a check. I'll be right there, guys.
Not expectations. that made life worth living, worth living. Glory, glory, hallelujah. The sun is shining, shining down.
God, it's my favorite new song, J.J. Gray and the Mofro, The Sun is Shining Down. Now, I'm not really sure how in the hell I'm gonna relate that to bringing in my guest at the moment right now. But I guess because it's happy. It's all about being happy and loving life, and that's what my friend Brad does. It's on the horn right now. He loves burgers. And Brad, what's going on?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I am doing awesome. I'm trying to figure out how the fuck I'm going to relate this song to you. Because usually I thought about trying to bring in with something cheesy like Cheeseburger in Paradise or something. But I don't know. Whatever, you know?
I would have hated that. It would have driven me nuts.
I figured you probably would have. You know, we just finished watching House of Cards, my wife and I. And the last episode, as the episode's starting, this song is on. And I was like, oh, my God. Because I love, like, bluesy-type music. And I downloaded it right away, and I haven't stopped listening to it. It's fucking badass.
It's pretty good. I was jamming out. You know, you emailed me telling me, you know, the details of how to call into the show, and you said you'd be down there in your bar drinking a couple of beers. So I thought, you know, I'll drink a couple of beers before the show, too. So
yeah.
So I'm in a pretty groovy mood, and I started jamming out to that song while I was listening to it.
Oh, dude, it's so good, man. And that's what it's about. That's what this show is about. It's about drinking beers, hanging out, talking food with really, really cool food people. And that's what you've become, man. You are a cool food person. Burger Weekly has a life of its own, right? I mean, how the fuck does that happen?
You know, it took 4 years for it all to really take shape. It's been almost 5 years now since I started it with a friend of mine in the beginning. He's no longer part of the operation. Still a good
Boy,
friend.
Boy, is he pissed.
But no, you know what? It's a surprise. He got his own reward. He met a very lovely woman who's way out of his league.
Yeah.
And part of that was she's very fit. She didn't want him eating so much meat.
Ah.
So, yeah. So what can you do? The power of love sometimes takes you away from the glory of burgers. Although in my case, burgers has transcended a great many relationships.
Now, I'm pretty sure if I had to choose between Huey Lewis and burgers, I'm going to take burgers. Wait
Fair
for
enough,
it. That's a good line. Wait for it. That's a good line.
Oh, I got it. I watched Back to the Future. I get it.
Fuck. Maybe it wasn't a good line. Shit.
That's fine. I'm one of those like, oh, that's funny, more than I'm going to laugh right at your joke.
Damn it. Well, we're going to have a problem then, Brad, because I try to get
Sorry,
my...
bro.
That's all right, dude. So seriously, like, you've got over 40,000 Instagram followers, and the amount of burger pictures that is on your Instagram, I mean, it's mind-numbing. I just look at them, and, I mean, do you look at them and sometimes feel like they all start to look alike? Like, you know.
So I used to pride myself in being able to look at a photo of a burger on my – well, you know, it started as a blog and still is a blog. And I still think of the Instagram as really just a referral for the blog and Twitter too, which is also pretty popular, and Facebook, which is a nightmare for me. I really think of those as all driving forces to the blog. But anyway, besides the point, I used to look at any photo and I could tell you which restaurant it came from.
Right.
Or whether or not I made it. I cannot do that anymore. I've personally eaten over 300 of them, and I've been fortunate that I've had a lot of great contributors that have sent in burgers from all over the world and reviews from all over the world. So, yeah, it does kind of all blend together at a certain point.
Wow, man, that's amazing. And have you actually eaten burgers, can you say, from all over the world or from all over the United States? Or?
Yeah, I mean, whenever I travel anywhere, I eat a burger. So I used to work for this humanitarian organization. And last January, they sent me to India, where burgers don't really exist. You know, it's a predominantly Hindu country, and they don't eat beef. Cows are sacred to them. But Rev, my podcast partner and hetero life mate, he was egging me on over and over again before I left. Like, you're Brad from Burger Weekly. You have to get a burger in India. Now, of course, he played to my ego, so that's all anyone ever really needs to do to get me to do anything.
Sure.
He really wanted me to get the chicken burger at McDonald's there called the Maharaja Mac, but I had to take it a step further, and I actually found a beef hamburger there. And I think I'm the only, like, prominent burger blogger to ever blog about a burger from India, but I paid the price with pretty terrible virus that I caught that burger. Yeah, it really messed me up.
Wow. So would you call that the worst burger you ever had, the one you had in India?
It was delicious. It was actually really good. But
was it really?
I hadn't eaten beef in 10 days, which is the longest I ever go without beef. So
wow.
I might have been, you know, easily influenced. But, man, for 2 weeks after I was back, I was in bad shape.
Oh, man, that is terrible. But, I mean, you got to eat a burger. I mean, I guess maybe it's worth it because you got to eat a burger in India. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I had I've had burgers in Odessa, Ukraine. I had a really pretty interesting burger in Athens, Greece, and then all over the United States.
Wait, let's talk about a Ukrainian burger. How's that?
Terrible. Really bad.
Oh.
There's no burger culture there. The food in Ukraine is out of control good.
Yeah, they have great food and beautiful women. Like,
oh, my God, like, you wouldn't believe. It's actually kind of sad. I remember I was also there with the humanitarian organization. They're doing some relief work from the conflict going on there between Ukraine and Russia.
Right.
But you walk around and you see some women, you're like, if you were born in the United States, your life would be totally different. You are a head turner. And here, and they all look like that.
So here, she would be a 10, and there, she's like a 7.
You know, I don't... I'll be honest with you, man, I hate that scale so much. When I was in grad school, we came up with a different scale that's even more objectifying.
Okay.
I won't share it here, but
I want to hear.
No, I can't. I can't. And
right.
You know what? I was listening to the show, and I listened to a few back episodes, mostly episodes of a few that you did with a few of my friends. And
okay.
I love that you can curse on this show. And I was really excited to come because on my show, Like, Bite, and Share, we really try not to curse too much. But man, I don't know if I feel comfortable sharing how much of a disgusting pig I am.
Nobody. You're talking to a bunch of fucking cooks, dude. There's nothing you could say that's worse than anything cooks say. Cooks are some of the most horrendous human beings on the planet, but the most loyal.
I know it to be true, but I also told people that I know that I was going to be on the show.
All right. I won't push it anymore, but listen,
all
I'm telling
right,
you
thanks.
What. I say you know, in my... It's not about me, but it's just funny about the scale because I go on these national television shows and, you know, they'd like you to talk about your family. So I talk about my wife, and my wife is way out of my league. And I don't know what I did. Oh, I do know roofies work pretty well. yeah, no, it worked out with roofies and being a very strong gentleman with a lot of duct tape.
Wow.
That was far. Didn't that take that a little far? It escalated quick.
A little dark, yeah. I just saw Hateful Eight, and I still feel like what you just said was very dark.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I say my wife's a 10 and I'm a 4.5. And but I mean that, but it's one of those things where my wife now says, could you stop saying that on television?
Yeah, I get it. I get it. But, you know, she doesn't have to publicly admit that she's your wife. So there is that.
Mm. That's funny because she says, it's funny. She goes, I love when you do things on TV when people do things on TV. And it's great to watch them when it's kind of, you know, it makes people talk and whatnot, but they don't have to own it. And so I have to own it when you do it. So
yeah. She's so responsible for you. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's not good times. So enough about my horseshit. So literally, you've had burgers all over the world. The Ukrainian burger was terrible. The burger in India was great, but it, you know, definitely was not good for you on the other way. What about here in the States, man? What's one of the... Actually, before I ask you that, I want to ask you this. What made you decide to do burgers in the first place? And if you just say, because I'd love to eat cheeseburgers, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, I won't tell you that. It's a multifaceted story. I tell it different ways to different people.
Okay.
When I go out on dates with women, I downplay how much my ex-girlfriend had to do with it. But if I'm telling the true story, I'm going to just tell it like it is. I was 2011. I was a summer camp director, and my ex-girlfriend, and she was very soon to be an ex-girlfriend at that moment.
Now wait, this sounds like my story I was telling. Like, is yours going to take a weird turn in a minute with duct tape in the trunk of a car?
No, it's slightly less gross.
Okay.
She sends me a list. I think Grub Street did a list of the 82 most notable burgers in New York City, and I was just ready to get out of this relationship with her. The buddy who I started it with was having trouble in his relationship. We needed an escape. So we're like, let's tackle this. And I had actually blogged a bunch in my past about professional wrestling. When I was in college, I lived with a professional wrestler. I know you used to be a professional wrestler.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Quiet. I know it's true. You said it on my podcast. So he was like, let's blog about it. It'll be good. And I was like, no, nobody reads blogs. Let's not. I forget how he ultimately convinced me to do it. But, I mean, the reason she sent me the list is I have always loved burgers, but I was also a really picky eater growing up. I only ate like 5 or 6 things, burgers being the predominant one. And when I moved to New York City, it was when I slowly, about 8 years ago, I started slowly introducing new things into my diet. Now I'll eat literally anything except cauliflower.
But, really? Why not? All right. You finish up. That's different. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, it's a whole thing. But so, yeah, I opened up, and I was like, okay, let's get back to burgers. Let's get back to basics. We started doing it, and because we were camp directors, we had 200 camp counselors who were trying to kiss our ass. So they would read it and tell their friends about it. They're New York City kids, so it really started taking off right away, and it gave us the motivation we needed to keep it going. And I think if you really stick to something and care about it and put a lot of effort into it, it'll take off eventually, and that's really what happened with Burger Weekly. I'm glad I did. I got advice from this actor. His name's Josh Hyman. You should go on YouTube and check out his reel. He's pretty funny. But he said, do it. But shortly after we started, he said, this is one of those cool things that people do for like 2 months and stop. Don't let it be one of those things. And that's always really stuck with me. So that's what I think about every time I want to quit.
Wow. That's amazing, man.
Yeah, he's a good dude. I haven't talked to him in a long time.
So, but how do you take that? Like that whole, so you were doing some blogging as it was. You tackle this list. You decide that you're tackling the list because you're going to break up with this girl who will leave unnamed. And you tackle this list of burgers, and it's 10 of them, right? From Eater, you said?
That was 82 of them from Grub Street.
Holy shit. 82 from Grub Street.
But by that point, a lot of them had closed. Like the list was written in 2009, and I started in mid-2011. So, you know, we made a spreadsheet, and right away we diverged away from the list. But I even now, sometimes I'll end up at one of those spots that are on that list, and it feels like a big deal, even though I really feel like the New York burger scene has passed by the New York burger scene of 2009, so I get disappointed by some of those older, lauded restaurants. But, you know, there's something nostalgic about it for me, something, I don't know the word.
Well, you were talking about the New York burger scene. How does that compare to you know, even like the Midwest or even out in the West Coast, like the burgers from here to there, how do you think they compare to each other?
Sure. So I can most, those are the two, you mentioned the Midwest and you mentioned the West Coast. So those are the two places aside from New York that I can talk about the most in an educated way. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. I go back to Detroit frequently. I was born in Chicago. I go to Chicago every once in a while, whenever I can. Chicago, yeah, amazing. And I wouldn't sleep on Detroit either. I have a great time every time I go there. It's not like Chicago. It's not like New York. It's a whole different kind of thing. But those are places that are, I think, at least in terms of burgers, really sort of finding their footing and defining their identity. Whereas you take the West Coast, it is the most well-defined burger community in the world. It's a roadside stand burger community, burger culture. And that's what you're going to get there. It's a little bit less heavy on the gourmet burger thing is not really big out there yet, and I think that's a plus, and I think that they should keep doing what they're doing because they do it well. And you go to California, you go to Los Angeles, you go to San Diego, you know when you're getting a Los Angeles or San Diego burger because it's that real classic 1950s roadside burger. Whereas in New York, it's going to be a little bit hoity-toity, which can get frustrating. It can be a problem. But then you've got some place like Australia, which has a just exploding burger scene right now. But it's all based around, I call them Cronenbergers because they remind me of like a David Cronenberg body horror thing, like the Thing or what is it? scanners, but have you seen these on Instagram or whatever? These just like giant burgers with cheeses and everywhere and layers upon layers upon layers. And it's really, I wonder, do these people really like to eat this food, or are they just building these burgers because
just
they
look
good on social media? Yeah. So that's what's going on there. That's also like a bigger sort of question about the burger world, is how much of this is for the photo and how much of it is because it tastes good.
Man, I don't even know if I would think a kangaroo burgers or some shit from Australia. Like, I don't know. It just seems insane.
I prefer to eat a kangaroo burger, like a very simple one-patty LTO situation, than like a four-patty with four different kinds of cheese and some fried chicken on it. I'm saying all this stuff, but then tomorrow I'm probably going to – I have an Australia contributor. I'm probably going to post a burger from him. I'm a total hypocrite. But
holy shit,
for me personally, like, I don't want that huge burger. That's not for me.
Wow! Listen, I'm getting a communique, Brad. A communique immediately from a fine gentleman who is listening to the show right now, who will remain unnamed, and wants to know about the Boss Log Burger.
Oh, is that Rev?
Yeah. He says, "Ask
so,
Brad about the Boss Log Burger right now."
So Rev is also from Michigan. It's actually funny. So Rev's just a little bit older than me, but we and we're both from the same place. We both ended up in New York, but we didn't meet till we got out here. Anyway, yeah. Rev went home for Christmas, and he went to his buddy's. We just talked about this on our podcast last week, but he went to his buddy's restaurant in Lansing, Michigan, and he got a Boss Log Burger, which I guess is something like, I can't remember, but I think it's 18 layers of burger.
It's insane. I'm looking at the picture right now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a little gross, right? It's a little gross.
There's a
sunny side up egg just sliding down the side of it. He's got integrity in that he told his friend, you know, my Instagram needs this more than I do.
No. Wow. That's a good way to look at it. My Instagram needs it more than I do. I don't think I could eat a burger like that. I mean, have you ever been presented with one that, I mean, that burger must be 2.5 feet tall.
Yeah, that's really absurd. No, I've never even seen something like that in real life. But, you know, there's another extreme that I think is kind of excessive, and it doesn't get crapped on as much, although, I mean, I guess maybe the poorer sort like myself would, is the expensive burger, like the gourmet burger, but for the sake of being gourmet.
Oh,
like,
a Kobe beef.
So Kobe beef is sometimes an artificially inflated, price-inflated burger, but sometimes you have, like, a Kobe beef burger that's also covered in black truffle shavings and caviar and creme fraiche and a quail egg, and why are all these things and gold leaf, and I don't know why any of these things belong on a burger. I was once presented a burger like this that ran for $300.
Holy
and
shit,
I
did you eat it?
I did eat it. I didn't pay for it, but I did eat it.
God,
and it
damn.
Sat like a log in my stomach for a day. I couldn't go back to work.
Oh, damn. That just sounds terrible. I don't know why people would do that. Like, a burger should be a burger. Like, to me, burger is, I mean, the history of burgers. Like, it's street food. It's peasant food. Am I right?
I think that's the real appeal, right? Maybe not. I don't know if I'd call it peasant food, because I don't like to think of myself as a peasant. but I take your meaning. It's accessible, right? It's comforting.
Yeah.
It's nostalgic.
It's
yeah, I don't know. I think these things are stunts, and I think it's actually pretty transparent when something's a stunt and not made out of love. Okay, so let me give you another New York example.
Okay.
You got Matt Hyland over at Emily, which is a pizza place, but that has become sort of known for its burger. And they're doing a dry-aged patty, and it's not cheap. But that guy loves food, loves to cook, loves that burger. I know he wishes that his pizza got as much attention as that burger did, but he loves that burger, and it really shines through. And that's why New York City is going apeshit for that burger.
Really?
Yeah. And, it, you know, his love for it shines through. It's really transparent, whereas I don't want to, like, name places, but there are a handful of places that are putting out burgers where it's obvious that they just put it on the menu because that's the thing to do right now. In fact, actually, I have another complaint.
Okay.
I went to a restaurant in Queens the other night, and I was looking at their menu. I didn't go there for a burger. I went there for a friend's birthday. I'm looking at the menu, and all I'm thinking is, what is the cuisine here? It's like you've got, not burritos, but like fajitas and samosas and Italian dish. There's pasta, and there's a burger, and there's So I look at the description on the menu. It says, we are food from all over the world. Okay, you can say that, but there's no focus here.
Right, right.
So I order the burger, and the waiter, I said to the waiter, listen, I'm really particular when it comes to burgers, which is not true, but I wanted him to know that I'm serious about burgers. He said, the manager gets it all the time. He loves it. You're going to love it. And I fucking hated it. You know, it was such a bummer, but I should have known because there was just no focus on the menu. It's sort of, the menu was, it just reminded me of like a Disney restaurant menu. Yeah, and that's what I got. So, you know, karma bit me in the ass. I knew better, and I ignored it. I needed the photo, so I got it. My Instagram needed it more than I did.
My Instagram needed it more. That's my new catchphrase. I love that. It's funny because you find guys like yourself who, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, you eat for a living, and you eat so much great food that, you know, it almost becomes, just from talking to you, it feels like it's not so much about you know, making this crazy outlandish burger, but just make a good burger, season it properly, have a good grind of your beef, and just make a great burger out of it.
I'm with you 100%. My number one burger of 2015 in New York City was this place, Joe's, on Amsterdam Avenue on the Upper West Side, and they do nothing fancy. It's a bacon cheeseburger, but you don't need the bacon, and you don't need the cheese. It comes with lettuce, tomato, onion, and pickle. You can pick them off real easily. It's Schweid & Sons beef, so there. Rev, if you're listening, there's our plug for Schweid, and it's incredible.
Had some Schweid & Sons burgers the other night, actually. Delicious. They do a great job over there. So listen, I have a friend of mine who is sending me messages right now. She's checking out the show. She is quite the burger eater herself, and I actually tagged her. So you should check out her Instagram. She's a very high up in R&D for a very prominent company. And I'm going to read you what she sent to me, all right, because I think you'll appreciate this. She says, I'm the burger queen. I started eating burgers because I had my heart broken in Brooklyn by my ex. Big burger scene in Japan and Korea right now. Emily Burger is stupidly good.
She's right. I don't know what that has to do with Japan and Korea, but sweet, man.
She's a chef, so it's like separate thoughts.
Got it. Well, I'm glad she agrees. I mean, like, it's sort of the general consensus. She sounds like she knows her stuff.
Yeah, she's awesome. I mean, make sure you check her out. I tagged her on the thing next. I think you'll like it. She's maybe we'll make a connection here. She's a very, very beautiful girl who eats cheeseburgers and posts pictures of it. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, she's single?
I think that if the scenario is right, she always is.
Oh, my kind of person.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's a lot of fun, and she's brilliant, too, which makes life even harder. So the only reason her and I made friends is because I make good dick jokes. I'm definitely not smart. So let's talk for a second about your podcast, man. You do a podcast, which it's become one of my favorite listens. I'm a couple episodes behind currently because of the holidays. But Like, Bite, and Share, it's been fantastic. I check it out. You have great guests on the show. And amazingly, it's you and our good friend Rev that we've talked about, who, by the way, sent me a message, and he is incredibly happy to be known as your hetero life partner. Is that what you call them?
Hetero life mate, yeah.
Yes, hetero life mate. He's incredibly happy to be called that. But it's a great show, and it's really good for people in this business, in my business, no matter what you do, whether you're a cook, you're a chef, you're a restaurant owner. But, you know, you focus a lot on how social media helps things out. But what you guys do is amazing, and what you specifically do is amazing, because in this podcast, you're the co-host, and somehow or another, you've managed to get a word in edgewise doing a show with Rev.
Yeah, it's not easy. He's a big personality. But he also, like, we have a real good dynamic, and there's actually a lot that goes on sort of behind the scenes while the show is happening. We talk a lot and try to keep it seamlessly flowing with the guest while we're talking to each other about what should happen next. But Rev, I have to hand it to him, man. There are times when, you know, he books most of the guests, and he knows them, most of them personally. I'm just now starting to get some of my people on. I'm going to be fully honest. You know, he's fed me a question or two when I've been like, dude, I'm out. What do you got for me? So it's a good dynamic, but I can't take full credit for being able to keep up edgewise, except that, you know, we hang out a lot. So I've learned to handle his one of the most infectious and fun things to hang out with.
A great guy. And we're not, this isn't the show to put Rev over, but he's a great guy. And I've spent a lot of time with him myself doing different festivals and whatnot. He's a really, really cool guy. I think a lot of them. And I tell you what, I was on your show and we had a lot of great conversations there, but you know, one of the things that stuck out to me the most about it is you can hear how much you actually care about the food. Now you have a lot of food bloggers and micro bloggers and whatnot who they'll post pictures and talk about it, but you seem to really take the opportunity to understand the food, to know why it's being made a certain way, to understand what the thinking was behind that. Is that true with like every single burger picture you have?
Yeah, I try to in most cases. It happens more when I eat something and I think it's great, I want to know everything about it, where it came from, what the thought process was behind it. If something's bad, probably not going to end up writing about it anyway, because my philosophy is more, it's less that I don't want to be a dick, because I don't care about being a dick. It's more that I don't think people care about where not to eat as much as they care about where to eat. Okay. You know, we only have so much time in the day to read, especially people, you know, you hear all the time people say, I don't like to read, which I think is nonsense. I think if you're reading the right thing, you're going to love to read.
Sure.
But how much do you really need to read someone saying, this is bad, don't go? We can't all be the review of Guy Fieri's place in Times Square, right? That was mean, but it was also funny. I can only do one or the other. I can be mean or I can be funny. So I'm going to choose to be funny most of the time if I can, and informative.
Well, I think that's important.
Yeah, so if I like something, I'm going to find out as much about it as I can. But the other thing that I love about the podcast is I've learned so much from the guests on the podcast that I've been able to incorporate into my professional life. We had a guy, I mean, like, your podcast was one, I think, maybe the most fun I've had, recording one. But we've also had some that were fun and some that were, like, maybe a little less fun but really informative. Like, we had this guy, Christian Ward, on from Yek, and I learned so much about malicious activity when it comes to search and reviews and stuff like that that I've completely used in managing Yelp accounts for places that I work.
Which is funny. I checked that episode out because my brother-in-law is associated with that company in a very – I'm trying to be, you know, very broad here. He's associated with that company, we'll just say. And it's funny because you hear episodes like that and, you know, where it may not be this big funny laugh, aha, but there were some good laughs in there. But you're right. Those things and how you can apply them to your restaurant or how you can apply them to your business. I mean, that's what I love about your show, because every episode, there's something I take out of it that I can apply to my business and doing what I do. And you can check out that show easily on iTunes. Just subscribe. It's free. Brad and Rev do a great job. It's called the Like, Bite, and Share podcast. It's fantastic.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. I'm glad you like it. And like I said, yours was great. I know I learned a lot listening to you, too. I want to know more about this professional wrestling career that we talked about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Why are you fading me?
I'm not. Listen, let me tell you what. I spent a short amount of time being a pro wrestler in Virginia, about a year and a half or so, and I went to pro wrestling school, and I had a lot of fun doing it. My main character, I'm going to give it all to you right now in 15 seconds. My main character was the chef. Yeah, I know. Witty, right? My finisher, Brad, was called the main course. Before I applied the main course, I would hold my hand up in the air as if to signal check, please. And then I would put the main – yeah, I would drop them with the main course, which was basically an inverted emerald driver. And then when I had to be heel, I wore a Lucha Libre Mexican wrestling mask, and I was called El Tambor Loco, which was, I think, translated to the drunken drummer or something like that, the crazy drunken drummer. And because I tried to do a moonsault off the top turnbuckle, but I'm a large fellow to begin with, almost 6'3", and it looked like I was drunk trying to flip off a rope, and so that's what they called me.
You know CM Punk, right?
I do.
So he, apparently the CM, it really stands for Chick Magnet, but one of the theories behind CM was that it stood for Crooked Moonsault. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what you get when you have CM Punk scream at you to leave your house when he comes to visit.
Wow.
Man, that guy's a prick. Anyway, okay, I'm glad I got the scoop. I feel much better.
I have a friend of mine who's he's really, really close with Colt Cabana. I'm sure you know Colt Cabana.
Well, you know what made me think about Colt Cabana was I was listening to some back episodes, and I was like, Plum listens to the Art of Wrestling podcast because this intro is the Art of Wrestling made.
Yeah. Thanks for giving away my gimmick. Appreciate that. You know, it's
sorry,
funny,
man. I told you when you were on my show, I'm the spoiler. I'm just here to let all the secrets out of the bag.
You're like the fucking heel guy. You just turned heel on me. You straight up NWO'd me. Like, you offered me the show. Hit me?
Exactly. No, I like to think of it as oh, man, this is such deep cuts. I'm not getting into this. No one who's listening to this show knows what the hell we're talking about.
I mean, we were talking about Pretty Girls a minute ago, and now we've totally thrown that shit out the window. That's fucking gone. So we might as the second you bring up pro wrestling, they're gone.
Whoops.
That's the way it goes. Listen, back to the burgers, man. So I want to ask you a question. So when it comes to burgers, French fries, are they an important part of it in your opinion?
I mean, do you look at my Instagram account? I created the hashtag fries equal crack. Yeah. French fries are essential. I don't even know if they're essential to burgers. They're essential to life. There's something so elemental about a fried potato. Anyone, you know, you've got people who can't eat meat for one reason or another, or just won't, who will eat a fry because it's just drugs, with the only downside being the same thing as drugs. Addiction is bad for your body, but totally worth it. It makes everything worthwhile. And I do think that a starch sometimes, like, actually I just learned this term from Dan Pashman, and I'm a little embarrassed I didn't know about it before, but he came on our podcast. He's the host of The Sporkful. He thinks about food in a way that really nobody else does. Totally
okay.
But he taught me about palate fatigue, and I had never thought about it before, that you really need something to break up the flavor that you're getting over and over again, and a fry is perfect. And I don't think a fry fills your stomach at all. When I started Burger Weekly, I had a term called the second stomach, which meant even if you can't finish anything else, you will always finish your fries because they go into your second stomach.
Okay.
So, but I do think they obviously help with palate fatigue. They taste incredible. And when they're done well, I'm getting emotional talking about French fries right now.
Sad.
Thinking about how fucking delicious they are. Mm. So, yeah, anyway, long story short, fries are essential to the experience.
So what about onion rings? Because I enjoy having onion rings with my burgers.
I like an onion ring. I don't think it's essential to the experience.
Wow.
I like that onions are incorporated in one way or another. I like a raw red onion on my burger. But I found with onion rings are, if they're not made perfectly, you take a bite, and then the whole hot, steaming onion comes out, and you burn your tongue, and it messes you all up. There's a lot of room for error with an onion ring.
Okay, wow, that's a really good point. The way you just worded that, you just made, like, eating an onion ring sound very scientific. I appreciate that.
I just think of it as being kind of dangerous, and it scares me, and I'm not good at fear.
All right, so check it out. So I grew up down south, and growing up down south, we would put mayo on burgers like it was nobody's business. Is that like a faux pas?
I think for some it would be. It's not as big for me. It's not as big of a faux pas as, say, putting ketchup on a burger would be, because I think there's a lot more you can do with mayo. With ketchup, there's something you can do. You put it on your burger, and your burger tastes like a salty, sugary tomato.
It tastes like ketchup, right?
Yeah. That's it. Done. You take mayo, you can make, you know, any kind of sauce you want out of that. Not to mention, I came up on Burger King Whoppers to the point that they ruined my life. They made me incredibly fat in my early 20s. And those have a thick layer of mayo. I wish that you could see the hand gesture that I'm making right now to explain this thick layer of mayo. So I enjoy mayo, but I'm a mayo on fries guy. But I think mayo on a burger, acceptable, but not preferred.
Well, you know, mayo with fries isn't weird. You know, it's almost like having a little aioli. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't think it's weird at all. But I grew up in the Midwest where ranch dressing is a huge thing. So I kind of miss ranch dressing on my fries because the ranch dressing in New York, sorry, New York, my adopted home, the ranch dressing here tastes like absolute dog shit. They're not making it. They're just not taking the time to make good ranch.
Damn.
So that's a bummer.
Hating on ranch dressing, too. So what are things like, so obviously burgers have a deeply rooted love in your heart. What about things like hot dogs? Like, do you like those at all?
I like a hot dog. I like a barbecue, so I like a hot dog. But I don't know. I'd never order a hot dog at a restaurant. I mean, what restaurant even serves hot dogs? Not many. I do like to go to the beer hall down the block from my apartment and get a brat every once in a while.
Yeah, that sounds good, right?
Yeah, it's delicious, especially in the summer. But if not burgers, hot dogs is not really my go-to. I love a great grilled cheese. I had an amazing grilled cheese sandwich the other day at this Mediterranean restaurant of all places.
Oh, no. You ordered grilled cheese at a restaurant?
Yeah, dude. It was great. had bacon. It had some kind of sugary thing. Can I be honest? I have not mastered. I think my burger, my homemade burger, is pretty good, but I have not even come close to mastering the homemade grilled cheese. I'm not good at it.
All right. Well, so what? How does that work with you with cooking though? I've seen pictures of you at the grill, you know, doing your thing. Do you fancy yourself a great burger cook, a good burger cook? I mean, you've had so many, so you obviously you've learned some techniques.
I think that I am an above average burger cook who sources good ingredients. And so I've been able to pass myself off as a great burger cook because I know where to get my beef, I know where to get my buns, I know where to get my condiments, I know where to get my dogs. I don't tell people that that's where their delicious burger is coming from. I just tell people that I know what I'm doing.
Wow. Well, I guess that works. I mean, I'd love to have a burger made by you. I'm sure it's probably delicious. I'm sure you have a lot of experience with it.
Well, I would love to have a burger made by you. And I was listening to your show before I came on, and you mentioned that I scolded you for not having burger photos. But what you left out was that I said I would come over. If you make burgers, I will take photos for you so that you can have ammunition for your Instagram account.
Well, you know, I did a segment on a TV station here recently using Schweid & Sons beef and made some pretty awesome burgers. The whole segment was based on doing, you know, because it's wintertime doesn't mean you can't still make a great burger. And it went over pretty well. Rev was happy with it. So maybe I'll send you those pictures. But more importantly, hey, I actually also placed pretty well in Chops doing a Juicy Lucy.
Oh, man, I got to find that. Is that online?
Yeah, it's somewhere, I'm sure. I had buffalo and like smoked Gouda, and I was like, I'll make a burger.
I would love to see that because I think in my life had one Juicy Lucy that I've liked. So I'm curious to see what you did there.
Which is funny because I think of that as like a very Midwest thing, you know?
Well, it's from the Midwest, but it's not a Detroit thing at all. It's not a Michigan thing. It's like, what is it, Wisconsin, Minnesota? I'm embarrassed.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So let me ask you this. So when it comes down to it, You have this incredible Instagram following with these beautiful burger pictures. And by the way, I'm not blowing that off. Where you and I, we're going to hang out. We're going to have burgers. I swear to God, we're going to make that happen. We're gonna make some awesome burgers. I love it. You should see I live in farm country in Newtown in Connecticut because that's what I love. And I have a wood burning grill. It's badass. Anyway, when it comes to burgers, and you have 40,000 Instagram followers, you have 30,000 followers on Twitter, and you tweet about burgers, you talk about burgers on Instagram. It's almost become a full-time job just eating burgers. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, so I do have a day job as well, but that's brand new as of 2 weeks ago. For the last second half of 2015, I was eating burgers full-time, and I loved it. I loved the creative freedom. It turns out I'm not so good at not having structure in my life. But, yeah, it is possible to, with enough hustling, and it is a ton of hustling, take a love of food and make it a job.
You're absolutely right, and I can tell that you have some pro wrestling in you because that's how you were able to do that, and that's all it is.
Yeah, I just bring my gimmicks everywhere I go.
You got to run your gimmick. If you don't run the gimmick, you don't have a chance.
For real, man.
There you go. So what's been, I mean, you've been awesome to talk to, and I could sit here and talk to you for the 2 hours, but it'd be 1 o'clock in the morning, and that's not good because you have a real job, and I have to go cook for people tomorrow morning, so we can't do that. But I'm going to give you the quick, my quick little three-question finisher-up kind of questions for you. And again, I appreciate your time tonight, and make sure if you guys haven't already, check out Burger Weekly on Instagram as well as on them Twitters. That's at Burger Weekly. And don't forget the podcast, which is an amazing show, especially if you're in this food business, the Life, Bite, and Share podcast. It's on iTunes. It's well worth checking out for sure. So Brad, when it comes to having burgers and you know, you talk about having beers and whatnot, to you, I'm changing my question up that I'd normally ask a little bit just to kind of fit the topic here. What's the best beer to have with the burger? Or is that beer kind of dictated more on the time of year?
Yeah, I mean, the time of year is important, but I think even more than that, I actually wrote an article about this for my friends over at Thirsty NYC. I think the kind of burger you're having is also important to what kind of beer you pair it with.
Okay.
If it's a lighter burger, if it's in the summer, I think like a lager or a pilsner is really good. really okay. So if you go to Shake Shack, for example, they have their own Brooklyn Brewery brewed Pilsner, which is pretty great.
Right.
And you know, served in the plastic cup, you have it outside. It's wonderful. But like in the Christmas season, so if you go up to like Queens Comfort in Astoria, they've got some pretty wacky, ridiculous burgers up there. I would say, having like a porter or a stout with something like that just brings the whole heavy meal together. You're going to be taking a nap after you eat those weird burgers anyway. They're gigantic. You might as well go full blown and take a peaceful nap with a nice, hard, heavy beer, malty beer. I was just reading on, I forget what beer website put this out, but it was a way to best pair beers with foods in general. And it recommended for heavy meats to do a goza or a different kind of sour. And I think there's something to that. And I've been in a sour kind of phase lately. And I dig it. I like the sweet to offset the really savory burger.
God, those sours are tough, man.
You don't like them?
I did a dinner out at Two Roads Brewery where we paired sours. It was a 5-course dinner with their sour release. And God, they're tough, man. And I'm not a fan. I mean, I guess I kind of get it, but I don't know. I don't see how you could drink a bunch of it, but that's just me.
Well, I guess when I'm eating, I'm not really – when I drink to drink, I drink to drink. And when I drink when I eat, I don't actually drink as much.
See, I got a feeling you'd be a problem when you drink to drink. Like we'd go into a bar and Brad's there drinking, and inevitably Brad's going to be a problem for somebody. Like,
yeah, it's usually the person talking too much, but it's not that I'm like an in-your-face kind of problem. It's more like a Brad's giving me side glances kind of problem. He's not trying to hide it anymore.
I'm going to keep that in mind. I will definitely keep that in mind for sure. So let's talk really quick. The number two question here: best burger you've ever had. Like, maybe not so much as since you've been doing Burger Weekly, but at what point did eating burgers like click with you and be like, oh my God, this is a thing. Like, this food has given me emotion. It's hitting me from so many different angles. Like, oh, was there a burger that happened with?
Yeah. In Royal Oak, Michigan, there's a burger joint called Remco Tavern. And it was sort of mythological to me growing up. The line was always so long, I'd get impatient and I'd leave. And I found myself a Burger King all the time. And then one day my mom insisted, I think it was my birthday, my like 17th or 18th birthday, she insists, we're going to Redco, just shut up, deal with the line. I have such bad ADD. I can't abide by a line, but she insisted and we went, and then I was like, oh my God, burgers aren't like McDonald's, Burger King, crappy burgers. This is insane how good this is.
Yeah.
I've since been back. And I mean, many times, but I've since been back since Burger Weekly started, and I've really had at burgers all over the world, and it doesn't quite hold up as much as I wish it did, but I'll eat it any day because it is a good burger, and it was the one that sort of turned me on to the fact that, like, oh, there's more that goes into this than just beef on a grill.
It's amazing, man. What do your parents think about that? What do your parents think about what you've done with burgers?
I don't know if my dad really understands what's going on. He's Israeli. He's a pretty old school, like war veteran type dude.
Right.
He sometimes will be like, I see it on Facebook, because he looks at my stepmom's Facebook. He's like, oh, burger, this is Brad. I can't do his accent at all, but he's very proud that I've built anything at all. And my mom, she tells all her friends about it. She runs this real estate office in Southeast Michigan, and it's like covered in Burger Weekly stuff.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
To do something like that, and your parents would think that's great. Man, that's fantastic. So, you know, I wanted to ask you this too. I have two more questions for you, then I'm going to let you go for the night. And again, I appreciate your time tonight, man. You've been a lot of fun to talk to. What do you think about these? You know, there's so many awesome, beautiful burger places in the city and just all over the world. What do you think about these? You know, about the more corporate places like a Five Guys or something like that. You know, what do you think about those kind of things? How do they rank in your book?
I like a Five Guys. I think it's got a time and a place. I think Five Guys fries really are kind of game-changing, especially when you're drunk.
Yeah.
I have a huge series on Burger Weekly about Smashburger, because I think what they did with the regional Smashburgers, where every a Smashburger franchise has to have one burger, except for at the airport, a Smashburger franchise has to have one burger that is sort of like a love letter to the region.
No way.
I think that's really great, and I've done my
that's
best
awesome.
To get as many – yeah, it's really cool. And I'm doing my best to get as many of those chronicled on Burger Weekly as I can. So I think that's really great. Big fan of, it's not quite as big, but I'm a big fan of Bear Burger, which now has 40 locations all over the world. Just because, I mean, their meat might not be the most outstanding. The way I said that sounds worse than how I mean it.
Right.
But they're doing really cool things with, like, their elk burger is one of the most interesting tasting burgers I've ever had.
Wow.
And they're serving that all over the country and in Tokyo. So, you know, that's impressive to me. I think, but then you've got a place like McDonald's, which really doesn't give a shit. So
no.
I think it does, the places that really care, it shows through no matter how many locations you have. Maybe eventually you become a little watered down, but if the love for the burger shines through and the culture of the places is well maintained, then more power to you. Bring it all over the world.
And New Year's Day, my wife and I, we went out for New Year's Eve for the first time in 10 years and had a great time and whatnot. My wife ended up drinking more than I did. And basically, in a nutshell, New Year's Day, we're hanging out. It's about 5 o'clock, and she really wanted a burger, and the place we could get it from was Five Guys. And, man, I tell you what, we got some Five Guys burgers. We hung out. My kids were having them. I was having them. My wife was. It was awesome. We're sitting there eating Five Guys burgers and their fries, which were just fantastic. I loved it. It was awesome.
Yeah, man, Five Guys is dope. I would not take anything away from them.
I mean, they're doing a pretty good job with it, I think. So, well, good. It's refreshing to hear a guy who has such a following and has become such an expert when it comes to burgers, not shit on the corporate places so much, because sometimes that's all people have, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, but still, McDonald's is gross. Although I will say, even to give them a little credit, which I don't think they deserve, their fries and chicken nuggets are still quite addictive.
Yeah, but fucking they put heroin in them. That's why.
Whatever, man.
I don't think it's
addictive. I'm just saying it's addictive. I'm not saying you're not going to die. I'm just saying it's addictive.
All right. Well, so are cigarettes and cocaine. But anyway, wow. So much for me ever doing any business with McDonald's. So you've done so well for yourself, man. You have an amazing following on Instagram, an amazing following on Twitter. You've taken Burger Weekly to a whole other level. You've got an amazing radio show, a podcast that you and Rev do. You can find it on iTunes, Like, Bite, Share podcast. Have you done it, man? Like, what would be the biggest piece of advice you would give to, you know, these young culinarians, the young, you know, just people who are coming up in this business who, you know, listen, we go up and down. I started this whole show off tonight talking about people who have been, you know, chewed up and spit out, the difference between confidence and cockiness when it comes to this, the restaurant business, the food business. And I'm sure you've seen them both. But what would be the biggest piece of advice you would give to somebody who is, you know, who's trying to achieve the level of success that you have?
So I'd say try to be as focused as you can in what you're doing. Have a goal, but be flexible with that goal, because if it changes, it's not worth quitting because you're not getting exactly where you need to be. And at the end of the day, I just think the advice that I was given when I was starting Burger Weekly is the best advice that anyone could give. It's that if you're doing something cool, don't let it be something cool that stops after 6 months, a year, 2 years because you're bored or it gets hard. Keep it going because there are people who like what you do, and you're not just robbing yourself, you're robbing them too.
Yeah. Wow, that's great advice right there for everybody. That, you know, definitely check that out. And I mean, don't check it out, but definitely take it to heart and listen to it, because the man's right. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes ever is from Chef Marco Pierre White. And if you have a dream, you have a responsibility to yourself to make it come true, because if you don't, you're just a dreamer. And I think that sums it up in a nutshell.
Absolutely.
I could talk burgers with you all night long. I love to eat. Burgers are fantastic, and I feel like you could educate me so much when it comes to them.
You're a sweet man, and it's been a blast talking to you.
Dude, make sure you check out Brad on Instagram at Burger Weekly, on them Twitters at Burger Weekly. I am shit when it comes to Facebook, dude. I have like a professional page. That's it. So is Facebook the same thing, Burger Weekly?
Yeah, and please don't forget to check out the blog itself, burgerweekly.com.
I was getting there. You're going to put yourself over, brother. I got you. I got you.
I got to make sure, because, you know, a lot of people this day and age, a lot of people think it's just an Instagram account or that anything's just an Instagram. But we're blogging here.
There you go. I mean, blogging is the most important thing in the world. Like that is how you change the world, blogging. Next thing, we need a YouTube channel, You Eating Burgers. What do you think?
It exists. It exists. There are about 25 episodes of Burger Vlog. I hate it. I hate everything I've done on there. It needs a total revamp. Please do not visit youtube.com/burgerweekly.
Do not visit that at all. Instead, check out burgerweekly.com and check out the blogs that he's doing, and of course, all on social media. And don't forget, everybody, the podcast, Like, Bite, and Share, with the fantastic Rev Ciancio from Schweiden Sons. Dude, a lot of fun talking to you. I really appreciate it, man. Look forward to a great friendship and doing some very cool things down the road.
Likewise. Talk to you again soon.
You're awesome, brother. Thanks again. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Peace, buddy. Hey, there you have it. That was my man, Brad, from Burger Weekly. That dude was awesome. Like, seriously, if there was a Jedi when it came to talking about burgers, I think Brad might be that guy, in my humble opinion. I mean, seriously, who knows that much about burgers? I'll tell you who. Brad, that's who. And I couldn't help it because, I mean, honestly, you got to play this song if you're going to talk about New York burgers and whatnot. We're going to wrap this show up right now. It's 11:15. On the East Coast. It's way too late than it needs to be for me. Here, let's see. I'm going to put this one phone call real quick. Hang tight. Let's see what we got here.
Hello?
Yeah, what's going on? You're on Plum Love Foods Live. It's Chef Plum. What's up?
Hey, what's up, man? George.
George, where you been, man? Happy holidays to you. How are you?
I'm pretty good, man. Had a pretty good holiday season. Yourself?
It's been insane, dude. I wish I could explain or put it into words what's happened, but it's been a lot of fun. It's been insane. I'm a very fortunate, blessed man. And I see you up on them Instagrams, man, posting. You got a lot of business going on, dude. How's life, all right?
Oh, God, life, it was hectic. Oh, yeah. But as far as personal life, yeah, dude, it's good. But restaurant, like, yeah, we've been doing some big numbers. It's been fucking crazy.
Good, man, good, man. Do you enjoy the conversation with Brad from Burger Weekly?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I tell you what, man, you should check him out, definitely, at Burger Week on Instagram. That dude, what he's done with burgers and cheeseburgers is absolutely it's insane. It's astronomical, so I highly recommend you check that out.
Oh, I will. It's pretty cool, like, as far as his following, like, just off burgers, that's dope.
It's fucking
crazy,
right?
I really like the advice he gave out. Like, the advice he gave out, I was listening, I was like, man, that really hit home to me.
Good, man. I'm glad to hear that, dude. I'm glad to hear that. Well, bro, I appreciate all the support and checking the show out. And happy to be back here. Happy New Year to you, and look forward to a beautiful 2016.
Hell yeah, man. You too.
My man, I'll put you back on hold so you can listen, all right?
All right, thank you.
There it is. There it is, man. That's our man George checking in a little bit. Wanted to hear it, say a little something for him. That man's all right. He's a fine supporter. Big thanks to him. Big thanks to my man Brad from Burger Weekly checking out the show tonight. I'm sorry, calling into the show tonight, talking about Burger Weekly, talking about things going on with them. Don't forget to check out the Like, Bite, and Share podcast. You can find it on iTunes for free. That's right, for free. Check it out while you're working on the line, while you're prepping before that Hardy Dinner service coming up. Pop it in your ears. Check them out. Does a great job over there. Let's get into a couple more plugs and call it a night.
You take the clothes off my back.
No. I need better No. If you're going to put music on for us to plug, give us better music. Here we go. Yeah. You were checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on a Monday night on Blog Talk, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, PlumLoveFoods.com, which will soon be ChefPlum.com. Happening right now. I want a big thanks to my girl Rachel Lampin calling in. You can follow her on Instagram and on Twitter. Only one rah rah. That's only one, the number one rah rah. She is fantastic if you're looking for any PR help. And of course, big thanks to Brad Garoon from Burger Weekly calling in, breaking some knowledge. The man has taken eating burgers to a whole other level. Make sure you check out Burger Weekly. That's at Burger Weekly on Instagram, at Burger Weekly on all the social media, and of course, burgerweekly.com. He's got some great blogging there. The man's going places, and that's all with eating cheeseburgers. As for me, if you haven't checked out the TCM Wine Club, that's Turner Classic Movies, folks. We have some incredible videos going up, a lot of fun things happening. And I tell you what, this year in 2016, I'm very excited, man. Very excited. A lot of really cool things on the table, and this is the year we're taking this to a whole other level. And a lot of that is thanks to you guys for checking us out. Of course, it's what happens. And this show is going to be going to another level. We're almost at, let's get through this couple little winter time here, and then it'll be festival season, Making a Beer Classic, all the wings. I can't wait. God, I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Maybe you've downloaded us. If you haven't, please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. It makes all the difference in the world on something called an algorithm. I don't know what that is. Maybe it goes on a burger. Maybe it hasn't. We should ask Brad if he's ever had an algorithm on a burger. That was a shitty joke, and I apologize for making it. Anyway, I look forward to the future. It's going to be a lot of fun. In the meantime, and in between time, please rate, review, and subscribe. And, guys, remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything in life that's important, it happens around food. Let's make sure we give it the time that it deserves. And I'll see you guys next week. Thanks, guys.
I came to pay. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.